We all just want our life to work better. We really do. Like if someone's in a relationship, it's not working well, or they're in a job, it's not working well, a career path not working well, whatever it might be, we tend to gravitate to the thing that's known in concrete. By analogy, if you think about having a house, you might go and see, okay, there's a crack in the wall here and I need to go and fix this crack. And so you go and you get spackle, you spackle over it, you paint over it, and that shows up again, and it shows up again, and it shows up again. And the reason is because it's like, it's not a wall problem, it's a foundation problem, right? It's actually a bigger problem, but it's a hidden problem. Like you actually have to go deeper and you have to go beyond your conception so we can spend a lot of energy trying to solve problems and getting great answers to, in a sense, like the wrong questions. Like my hope with this podcast is, yes, to talk about practices and yes, to try and bring things back to something practical, but primarily it's about ideas that can really shape and change your world and experience of the world and perception of the world. It's not necessarily like snacking on potato chips of ideas of like, hey, here's something you could do, here's something you could do, here's something to do. It takes a little bit more work, but it is the work. Welcome to Potent, the podcast where we explore transformative ideas and practices to help you live into your unique potential and build a more potent life. I'm your host, Stephen Lawson, a whole person productivity coach and the founder of Monk Manual. Today we have something a bit different. Rather than interviewing another expert, I will be interviewed by Potent's producer, Justin Sinclair, as we explore the genesis and underpinnings behind the Potent podcast. While today's episode's a bit shorter than our normal interview format, I hope you'll find it equally inspiring and helpful. This podcast is brought to you by the Monk Manual. The Monk Manual is dedicated to providing best-in-class tools for helping you build a more potent life and experiencing peaceful being and purposeful doing on a daily basis. If you'd like to be more intentional with your time and energy, please visit monkmanual.com. All right. Let's dive into the conversation. Honestly, I don't have a particular starting point. I think that I feel like there needs to be some sort of introduction to this podcast, where it comes from, where we're hoping it goes, and then also just what the inspiration was for it.
Yep, perfect. So that's my first question. Why did you decide to start this podcast? So we can start there and see where it leads us.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to start this podcast for a few reasons. The first is when I started the Monk Manual, there's a real desire primarily. It wasn't primarily about starting a business or creating tools. It was primarily about wanting to change individuals' lives and share the things that had worked really well for me and some of those paradigm shifts that radically altered my life to go and be able to share those with others. And I think that there has been a good amount that's happened through the various tools, because the tools do help and the tools do work. And I think that some people pick up on some of the ideas just by using the tools. But there was also a sense I had that there was quite a gap for most people between the premises that they might be coming in with around productivity, around fuller living, and the premises that led to me creating the Monk Manual. And so I wanted to have an opportunity to go and dive into some of those ideas and topics and also do something that I knew would be gratifying for me. So that leads to the second reason, which hopefully it's not selfish per se, but it is in some ways directed towards my own path of fullness, in that I like to build things. I like to figure out problems. Like that's fun for me. But also, deep down, I'm really more of a creative, and the Monk Manual, traditionally, a lot of my time has been spent more in operations. So in a sense, this is more of an experiment to try to do a little bit more of the things that really light me up. And I think you may have been one of the first people who brought up the idea of creating a podcast, or me creating a podcast. And I think that might have even been like 3 years ago. And since that time, I've had a number of other people do that as well, but I was hesitant to go and do it. And then 4 or 5 months ago, I had, I think, like five people all suggest I create a podcast in the same month. And this was happening at the same time that there were a lot of other changes taking place in my life. So I was like, you know what? I just feel like this is the next thing for me. And even if it's something that very few people end up listening to, I think that the people that do listen to it, it can be really beneficial. And I know it's going to be beneficial for me. So it seemed like a win all around.
So when you said part of the idea of this is to do more of the things that light you up, what about this lights you up? What's exciting about doing a podcast for you?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of different things that give people energy, and it's fairly specific and dependent on the person. For you, for example, it might be creating music or something. I have some things I really enjoy doing. I really enjoy spending time with my kids and doing things like that. Yeah, there's a few other hobbies there, but when I need to really recharge and refill and replenish, usually it's spent with other people who I either find interesting or have some sort of expertise, and I'm picking their brain around particular ideas. And I'm just, in general, really interested. I've had people close to me say that, in a sense, one of the gifts I have is that I do have a genuine curiosity for people and just a natural interest in who the person is. And I recognize that in myself, and it's not even dependent on like a title or some sort of like accreditation. I mean, I and this is true. Like, I really am interested in virtually every single person I meet, because I think that every single person I meet has, I just am fascinated by people. I'm fascinated by people. There just seems to be so much opportunity for learning and growth. And that's just so gratifying for me. But even more than that, it's like when I zoom out on my life and I think about what it is that I ultimately want out of my life. I want to be able to create good in the world, starting with the people closest to me and then kind of working outwards. I also want to fulfill whatever potential I can for myself. And I think I've seen just how much, like if you have the wrong ideas or the wrong conceptions about something, you can spend a lot of energy being stuck. And when you encounter something that's like a really potent idea, something that like shifts the way you think, where you're like, oh, I never thought of it that way before. Now I see this entirely different. All of a sudden, it's like the behavior flows out of that, right? Because our behavior is informed by our beliefs. It's informed by our conception of the world. I'm a huge believer that everyone is just trying to do the best they can. Everyone is trying to create more good, generally speaking, in their life, based upon what their conception of the world is, how things work, how they work, how relationships work. So if we can connect more deeply into the things that actually work, that seems like that has the possibility for a lot of transformation. And not transformation in just like, here's a hack or here's how you go and build a habit in 10 days, but real transformation, real like, okay, I was this before, now I'm this. And that's probably the most exciting thing to me, that prospect.
Along those lines, why did you decide to call the podcast Potent?
It's funny, whenever I have to name something, even when I came up with the Bug Fanuel name, I remember shopping it around to people and being like, is this a good name? Do you think this is dumb? Like, what do you think about this? And so I brought it to a few of the people who are close to me. And in general, people were like, oh, that works. So I did the same thing with Potent, where I shopped it around a little bit and I was like, okay, what do you think about this? And I would wait for the reaction to try and hear like, okay, does this resonate with the person or does it not? And usually I was bringing it to people who I thought, hey, these are the people who'd be into what I'd be creating here anyways. So if it resonates with them, that's a good sense that it's going to resonate for others. The idea of Potent, the word itself, it really comes through a bit of soul searching. I recognize at some point that what motivates me most is potential, the idea of potential. Achieving, realizing, I like the word realizing better than achieving. Achieving has this kind of mentality of, I don't know, it just feels so layered with certain models of success that I don't feel like is what I'm necessarily after, or that most people are ultimately really after. So it's not so much about achieving. I like the term realizing, because realizing is, it's like you have this image in your mind, an ideal, you're able to imagine this brighter future for yourself, and then you're not like achieving that reality. You're realizing it. You're making it real. So I really like that idea of realizing one's own potential. But I think the thing that was the shift for me, because I could have called it something like Potential, the Potential Podcast, right? That would have been fine. But I even feel like I'm really interested in words. Really, really interested in words. I spend a lot of time actually going on websites around etymology, and if I'll find a word that I'm really interested in, I'll just like try and go back and see where does it come from, how is it interconnected to this, all these things. Because there's a lot can be lost in language, right? Our communication is, there's a lot that can be lost in it. And potential, I feel like, is also just like achievement. It's this layered term that tends to be tied to kind of a mechanistic view of the human person. Like it's about, it tends to be tied to like sports performance or, I don't know, like some sort of model for success that, again, is externally dictated and seems to be based on an endpoint. I think that one of the problems, and this really came to me through the work of the Monk Manual, it's kind of core to the whole journey, is we have this way of thinking about our work and about our own journey towards fuller living as this thing where it's like we work and we make decisions and eventually we get to this place where our potential is realized, or maybe the potential for our happiness is realized, or joy, or peace. And I just came to a really strong conviction that that's not how it works, or at least like that's really misleading, because what it does is it makes it seem like everything is always in the future rather than accessible to us here now. And what I've found is when things are accessible to us here now, what it does is all of a sudden the now becomes meaningful. It's not the end goal that becomes meaningful. It's the now. The end goal is actually the means. It's the now that is actually the ends. And we always have at our disposal some level of potential. And that's why I like the term potent, because the idea of potency is it's like a qualitative term for the strength and influence that something brings. Oftentimes, maybe it's used in like a chemical reaction or with alcohol, or it's this qualifier that's trying to allude to like how much of this thing is really present and pervasive. It's like a concentration. And I'm just a huge believer that really, ultimately, the potential of our lives is not like the car we get. It's not even the career we get. It's us looking back and seeing the potential of all the little moments, of the potency of our own lives, of how we showed up in all the moments. So to kind of step back, just to explain one of the premises, like I have this really strong belief that underneath everything, every person has like an inherent goodness that can be shared with the world. So the idea is like our own growth path is in a sense becoming more fully ourselves, and then just sharing the potency of that goodness that is us moment to moment in the world. And the exciting thing about it is like there's the choice in the moment, right? So like even today, there's actually a choice before me, little choices of like how much do I want to show up? How much do I actually want to be present? How much do I want to be engaged in what I'm doing to experience the richness around me? But then there's also this extremely exciting reality that it's not just what can happen in the present moment. It also is the fact that like we can grow more fully into ourselves over time. We have this product with the Monk Manual called the Sprout Journal. And I was inspired because you have this acorn, which looks like nothing. And out of it comes like one of the biggest trees, like an oak tree, which like for most people, if you're under an oak tree, it actually has this like awe-inspiring, mighty presence. Like if you just look up at it and you really experience it, it's like, this is an incredible thing. I think we all have that latent potential in us. But the idea is like, how do we go and try to be like potent in all the various seasons? So we have the capacity to choose how fully we want to show up and how potently we want to show up in the present moment. But then we also have the ability to show up even more as time goes on and to harness ourselves and to develop ourselves in meaningful ways. And that actually does matter, that there's actually consequences, not only for other people around whether we engage that journey or not, but ultimately for ourselves. Because, you know, I'm still at a point where I haven't been on my deathbed looking back. But as I imagine it, I think the thing that most is going to honor my death is, in a sense, like honoring my life and living in that way and living in a way where moment to moment. I'm really trying to engage what's taking place. And I feel like that's the way that at the end I'm going to feel like I left nothing on the table. And what really excites me about that is that other people can come along on that journey too. I mean, it's just, it's the best. It's so exciting to me.
I also feel like the word potent probably has several meanings and intentions for you in this. And I feel like you explored a little bit of that, but there are probably a few other things to it. Is there anything else that you want to name about connections to the word potent and this podcast?
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you asked that. A few years ago, my family had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time in Paris, France. And where we stayed was directly across from one of the only museums in Paris that's devoted more to African art and indigenous people's art. And what's fascinating is the perspective on a lot of different things is very different from Western art, like just how they approach things. What's interesting is in a lot of that art, you find a lot of emphasis on like the reproductive organs and how they're depicted. And what I never understood until I dove into that art and tried to understand it was that usually they would actually depict some of these like larger reproductive organs, or they would depict these certain aspects as being larger based upon how good of a leader, like a particular chief was, or ultimately it actually came down to a symbolic depiction of creativity. That's what the whole thing was, is it was trying to showcase through the reproductive organs, in a sense, like the grandeur or the creative potency of the particular people. One of the things that made me hesitate around the term potent was because sometimes it actually is tied to more of like a sexual reproductive use as a term in that way, which I think maybe it's a prudishness on my part. I don't know. But there's a part of me that's like, okay, I don't want it to come off. That's not what this is about. But in a sense, it is. And what I mean by that is, in a sense, it's actually about the creative capacity of our lives. Full stop, really. Because I think there's two pathways to meaning. One is the meaning we experience from others. It's the meaning of being loved, of receiving love, of receiving the gift that is other people, the meaning that's in their lives, the meaning they bring to us. The other is the meaning that we create through the actions we undertake. And I think that what ultimately creates a feeling of meaning is seeing our own creative capacity. And so one of the reasons why a lot of productivity thinking is really problematic is because the emphasis points of productivity thinking, of production just for production's sake, it wraps our work in a paradigm, in an emphasis that's just not creative, and as such is ultimately not that meaningful, which then makes us feel a certain level of disconnection, a certain level of malaise, just like a lack of vitality, right? You know, a lot of the people in the monk manual community, they're high achievers, but they do get after it. Like they're serious about something, right? And it's usually the case that a lot of them are like, if you were to say, hey, do you have a lot of play in their life? They'd probably say no. And they might say, but I really want that. Or they might kind of just be thrown off because maybe they don't even know, and that seems silly to them, and it makes them feel kind of scared to think of themselves as someone who plays. Like, I'm not a little kid. I need to be a serious person. But at the end of the day, there's something about the human person that comes alive when it's being creative, and creative not from like, okay, I have a paintbrush and I'm just going to go and paint this thing, but when they are operating from a sense of center and they're participating in a world to make things that are in their mind, like ideals, images of what the world could be, what their life could be, they're taking action to make these things that they know could be actually become real, and that lives on not only in their life, but in the lives of others as well. And that's also just extremely inspiring to me. Like, it's the Siamese twin to flourishing. They just come together. And truthfully, like, if I see someone who's like a guru, like a self-help guru who says, hey, go and like follow my advice about this or that, but I can tell they're not living a creative life, I won't take their advice at this point, because it's really easy to go and say, hey, go do this thing. But I've kind of learned it's like the proof is in the pudding. It's like wisdom comes from living, and you can only really pass on what you have. So yeah, the idea here too is to connect in with people who are living in their own very specific way, some creative capacity. Like, I've been trying to choose for everyone I'm inviting on someone who I'm like, there's something about this person that inspires me. There's something about this person that is really creative. There's a certain potency that they're after, and they're on that journey. And my sense is that year after year, they're increasing in what they're giving to the world. And so that's, to me, that's just really inspiring.
You referenced the Monk Manual community, and I'm curious to ask, what does this have to do with the Monk Manual for you? And how do you hope it impacts people's lives in the Monk Manual community or otherwise? Are these things aligned or connected?
The Monk Manual, for me, it would be like a gym owner creating some sort of kind of like an ultimate workout machine. There's no such thing as ultimate, right? Like, there's different use cases. Like, a treadmill doesn't compete with like a chin-up bar or with some sort of pull-down thing. So it's not in that way. But the Monk Manual was designed to be a specific tool that would help in a specific way for a specific use case and operate in a specific context within productivity and in working with an individual's time. I'm really proud, actually, of the Monk Manual, and I'm really proud of what the tool does. I think it is as intentional of a product in that space as there is. I think one of the limitations of the product is that it's kind of like you get out of it what you put in. So say, for example, you create this ultimate exercise machine, but people don't know exactly how to use it. Maybe their technique's not exactly right. Or more commonly, maybe they don't understand the nature of why certain things are important. You think of like an elliptical, for example, right? Like, an elliptical oftentimes has something that's engaging your upper body and your lower body. And I imagine it's designed intentionally to be doing both those things. But maybe someone goes on, they're like, I'm not going to use the upper part because like that's not important. Like, by analogy, that'd be like the Monk Manual with reflection, right? Most people don't think of reflection as important, even though the reflection and a lot of the prompts are actually the bigger benefit. What I mean by that is it's not just about managing time. It's about the fact that you're integrating your approach to time with your own being and becoming. And there's a lot that's going on there. And I think very few people probably access that, although I think some do. So that's one part of it, right? Is recognizing that I think one of the limits of the Monk Manual is that there's not as much of an understanding around maybe some of the ideas that go into it. The thing is, I could create a podcast that's about what people expect productivity to be, which is, we're going to talk now about time blocking, and we're going to talk about how do you go and create a to-do list, or how do you go and have this system or that system. My own belief is that productivity, it's just an answer to a question. What I mean by that is, like, people have a sense of something's not working, and if I'm more productive, this aspect's going to work. And to some degree, that's true. But I think that the underlying question it's trying to answer actually needs like a little bit of a fuller answer that then actually makes your ability to enter into productivity a lot more powerful, right? So it's not that talking about time blocking is bad, but if we're just playing on the level of mechanics, and in like, what is the right way to do something? That's just not where I think transformation actually happens. And frankly, it's not that hard to go on Google and find all the tips and tricks about these various things. And frankly, the stuff that's good and bad in that world, most people are going to have a hard time even understanding what actually works or not without having deeper levels of understanding of what's really going on underneath the surface when they're engaging their work, when they're engaging their life, when they're engaging their relationships. I do coaching one-on-one with a small number of individuals, like 9 or 10 people at a time. It's funny because it tends to always start on the level of like mechanics of, okay, I need to go and figure this out or that out. It always ends up in the spaces of transformation. It's about changing the way you relate to something entirely. And so that's what I'm really interested in. When I thought about the prospect of going and being like, hey, we're going to do a podcast where I'll talk through these tips and tricks of how to organize your day or build an ideal week or this or that, like that's all fine. And I'm not against that. And I help people to do that. And I've done a lot of work myself doing that for myself. But that's not ultimately, I think, what really matters for people and what ultimately shifts things. It's like if someone wants to get really healthy, they don't get there by just finding the perfect exercise routine online. You can find thousands of exercise routines. And there's probably thousands of ways to go and lose weight or get into shape. What's holding people back isn't like the tips and tricks. It's how they actually relate to their health, how they relate to themselves, how they relate to everything. Ultimately, what's meaningful and what's not. And so that's what I'm really interested in. I'm really interested in what is our operating system for life and how do we shift that operating system? So really where the main overlap is it's like, as I was saying earlier, you have the Monk Manual, which is kind of like this tool. It's like this ultimate exercise machine. But I'm actually just someone who's really, really interested in health by analogy. And I think that if I'm going to be spending the time in following where I feel like I can add the most value for people, which is the goal, I need to be going to the deeper places and having some conversations that I don't think as many people are having.
Yeah, that makes me think about something I've heard you say in the past, talking about the foundation of a house versus its walls. Do you know what I'm referring to? And could you expand on that?
Yeah. Something I like to share is, I think the difficulty of being human is, like I said earlier, we all just want our life to work better. We really do. Like if someone's in a relationship, it's not working well, or they're in a job, it's not working well. Maybe I would even zoom out from a job and say a career path not working well, whatever it might be. We tend to gravitate to the thing that's known and concrete. By analogy, if you think about having a house, you might go and see, okay, there's a crack in the wall here and I need to go and fix this crack. And so you go and you get spackle, you spackle over it, you paint over it, and then it shows up again, and it shows up again, and it shows up again. And the reason is because it's not a wall problem, it's a foundation problem, right? Like that crack keeps on showing up because the foundation's a little off or it's shifting. It's actually a bigger problem, but it's a hidden problem. Like you actually have to go deeper and you have to go beyond your conception. So I think like one of the problems that happens for a lot of us is we can spend a lot of energy trying to solve problems and getting great answers to, in a sense, like the wrong questions. And the thing is, it's like that's a real tragedy to me, because what that means is that there's a real opportunity cost that we can spend years of our lives trying to keep on fixing this like crack in the wall, feeling frustration, feeling the shame around, I don't know why I just can't get this to work, feeling all these things. Because we're trying to find like these quick fixes or these memes of personal growth, but like we just don't really change that way. I will say like sometimes things like that can be helpful to get momentum going. Like, okay, now things are shifting. I'm starting to get into the groove of something. Like we're signaling to ourselves that change is possible. But most change, most sustainable change is rather slow and it's rather scary, because when I'm talking about foundations, it's like, okay, yeah, that's a house. You go and like fix the foundation. But what you don't think about is like fixing a foundation is actually a lot of work and it's pretty expensive. It's one of the things that most people are like, the one thing I don't want to happen to my house is that I have to fix my foundation, because that's a gigantic thing. And you have to dig all this stuff up. It's messy. You have to go in for a period of time. You have to put like the house often on like some sort of stilts, because you're actually tearing something out and then replacing it with something. That's a foundational thing. Now you think about what that's like for a human being who, even if things aren't working well, they're working. Everyone, even if you're in a rut or you're stuck, it's working. So my hope is that, if nothing else, the conversations that are had here will increase certain levels of discomfort, will increase certain levels of maybe awareness, so it can give enough impetus to go and actually change the thing that needs to be changed, because it is often difficult and scary to actually go and rewrite some of the different beliefs we have that are shaping our behavior. So this is actually, I think, a really critical point, because my hope with this podcast is, yes, to talk about practices and yes, to try and bring things back to something practical, but primarily it's about ideas that can really shape and change your world and experience of the world and perception of the world. And that's outer world and inner world, because I think that that is where change actually happens. It's not necessarily like snacking on potato chips of ideas of like, hey, here's something you could do, here's something you could do, here's something to do. It takes a little bit more work, but it is the work.
Definitely. Yeah. So as we're wrapping up this intro episode and launching the podcast, is there anything else you want to express to your listeners?
Yeah. I would say, as you can tell, I have a lot of enthusiasm and excitement for this project. And one of the things that excites me most is I don't even know exactly where it's going to go. I know I have a general sense of the direction. And what I would love is for those who listen, who are listening, both now and with future episodes, to leave comments, leave reviews, send us emails, let us know what's really resonating, what you want more of, where we should go next. Because the thing that actually would be the most exciting prospect for this podcast would be if I felt like it wasn't just me going out there to some mountaintop and then bring back some ideas and delivering it, but if it was actually a group of us going together, journeying together, and hopefully making this something that has the ability to, it's too dramatic to say shift culture, but maybe just shift culture enough for ourselves, in our families, in our communities, in our little microcosms. That would be really meaningful, and I think it ultimately would be a lot of fun. Thanks for listening to today's episode of Potent. This podcast is a work in progress, and you're part of that progress. I invite you to let us know what's been resonating and what you'd like to hear more of from us, either by leaving a comment or a review or sending us an email via our website. I hope you'll also subscribe and continue this journey with us into the future. You can follow us on YouTube and Instagram, both of which is links are available on our website, thepotentpod.com. That's thepotentpod.com. And now, some inspiration for the week ahead. We're never satisfied with the present instant. We anticipate the future as if it were slow to come, as if to hasten its coming. Or we call back the past, to stop it as if it were too fleeting. We are so imprudent that we err in thinking only of time which is not ours, never thinking of the only time that belongs to us. We are so vain that we think only of time which is no longer anything, letting the only time that exists escape without reflection. This is because the present ordinarily hurts us. We hide it from our sight because it afflicts us. If it is pleasant, we regret to see it flee. May each of us examine his thoughts. We all find them concerned with the past or the future. We almost never think of the present, and when we do, it is just for the purpose of enlightening the future. The present is never our end. Thus, we never live. We only hope to live. And preparing ourselves to be happy is inevitable that we will never be happy. Blaise Pascal. Until next time, I wish you all the best.